Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where Mina Kohlbeyer tries to figure out how she's still single in the year 2021, even though you could throw me a bone, call me a big old doggy bitch, and tell me to bark 8 times a day, I would still date you. My guest today, you've seen her on Indebted, a Black Lady sketch show. You've seen her on Shrill. You've seen her on Loosely Exactly Nicole. She was a writer on Hot Dog and the Emmys. And she's been on The Opposition with Jordan Klepper. It is Nicole Thurman.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm just excited for 2021.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Did you have any New Year's resolutions?
No, I feel like I usually will try to write like a list of things that I want to do. I guess that's technically a resolution, but I always call it just like a list, like a manifestation list. But I haven't written it yet. But when I wrote it for 2020, one of the dates that I wanted to achieve my goal, some of my goals by, was March 15th. So I feel like I cursed myself this year. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just wait. I'll hold off on making some goals until we are sure it's going to be okay.
March 15th, that is a very early time to, like, achieve things.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I don't know. I just have this, like, idea for, like, I'm going to book this kind of job by this date. And, like, I don't know. It was March 15th for some reason. It was a cursed number.
I did this to us. You did this.
I know.
But I've been saying on the podcast, like, I don't throw away all of 2020. I think it was a bad year. But there was some good. I refuse to throw it all away. I've been blocking people who, because on the podcast all through 2019, I was like, 2020 is my year. Yeah. So now anybody who goes, oh, man, if only you had hindsight and knew what was going to happen. I've just been blocking those people. Bye. And it's been so joyful.
Yeah, that's great. You got to get out. You got to get them out. I've been feeling, I was had like a little moment yesterday where I was just like, why is complaining cool? Is that just like the thing people are doing right now because they feel like if they don't complain in 2020, they're not going to fit in? Because it's like there are some good things that have happened this year. I think a lot of people I know have had fairly good years considering the circumstances. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, y'all, if you can't find something to be happy about, you're going to never
just
be happy.
Just one little thing. You know, maybe you lost your job. Maybe you lost your house. Maybe you moved back in with your parents. Mm-hmm. But like maybe you and your mom had a really special night where you learned something about her. I don't know. Celebrate that little thing.
Take a moment. Have a little gratitude, people. It's not that hard. It's really not. Because it's like if you can't find some happiness. I mean, because not everybody lost their jobs. The people that didn't lose their jobs, I'm like, you should just be lucky you have a job. You should be lucky you can pay your rent.
Yes.
Like the simplest, tiniest things. And some people just, they just love it. I had to mute some people because they're just.
I also muted some people.
I'm like, I don't mind keeping it real, but when you just complain and you think it's like a funny bit, get out of here.
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye, I'll see you later. I'm not interested in that.
Like my sister has been rather positive considering.
Yeah.
Like they've been doing in-person learning at her school that's all she's allowed me to say about it.
Yeah.
But she's been very positive about it. And I'm like, if she can be positive about that shitty situation, like. Yeah. You mean everybody?
It's so real. I mean, if you can, what other people are dealing with is so much worse. I mean, you can. I'm good at feeling sorry for myself, no matter what my situation is. However, I still have moments where I'm like, okay, but I can pay my rent, and that's good enough for me right now. You know?
Yeah.
It's like it's fine. Whatever it is. Like I have my car, or like I can go for a walk if I want to because it's sunny outside. Like little moments like that, I'm like, I'm just gonna take it because otherwise, I mean, if I'm sitting around complaining because I can't go see a damn movie, I mean, we got a problem.
There's
like, get a life. Like, get you know, be happy within yourself. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk again.
I follow this girl on Instagram. I can't remember her name, but she's maybe one of the dumbest people I've ever seen in my life. But she makes me laugh so hard. What hooked me was this, like, 10-part Instagram story about how this Agatha Christie book was better than the movie because she could imagine things.
Oh my God.
And the things that she imagined were different than the movie. And it was so long of her explaining how books and movies were different. I was like, I'm hooked. I will look at you every day. Yes. I love you so much.
Yes.
And she just had an Instagram story where she was like so excited that the movies were open and like back. Cause I think she lives in like, maybe Orange County or something like that. I don't know. But she was so excited. She did a whole full-blown Instagram story of her, like, in the movie theater being like, nobody's here. Can you believe it? The movie's starting. I was just like, this is so funny to me. She also wears, like, a mesh mask because I think she's an anti-masker and will wear it to appease people to go into businesses. And she doesn't, like, cause an uproar. But she's like, but you will get my particles, okay? Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
You're gonna get
get what I'm serving, okay? Right. But I just really love her so fucking much.
Right.
And she brings me so much joy. So I feel like people gotta find, like, I found, like, a joy in, like, somebody that I truly don't have anything in common with. Right. I don't agree with any of her things. Right. But she's just so funny.
Sometimes that dopey shit is so good because it's just like you're like, this is hilarious. You're literally like Instagramming a piece of popcorn at the movie theater.
That's, and she'll be like, we love it. It's such good popcorn. Have you ever had movie theater popcorn? It makes me so happy.
I love it.
My God, I love her so much.
It's like when you're a little kid and like a fucking pile of dirt is the coolest thing in the world and you're like creating a whole world out of a pile of dirt, but then when you're an adult, you're like, you know, you have a whole backyard full of dirt, and you're like, but I wish that I was in Tahoe right now, and it's like, oh my God, like, what the fuck is wrong with us? Get a life.
That is so wild, because, like, as a kid, I would make, like, dirt pies, and my mom would be like, uh-huh, and now I'm like, if anyone ever was like, Nicole, do you want to play in the mud and make a dirt pie? At this point in my life, I would go, yes.
You're like, you know, yes, yeah.
I gotta see if this is going to spark joy and bring me happiness. I just got to say.
You never know. You got to get that sense of play back. That's what children have that's so beautiful, a sense of play. Mm-hmm.
One of the nicest things that anyone has ever done for me, so I have an email address, baconcansave@gmail.com, where people can, like, email me dirty come-ons. Lately, it's been kids being like, can I be on Nailed It? And I'm like, I don't fucking cast the show. Nor do I care if you want to be on it. Right. I don't give a shit.
Right.
But the nicest thing anyone has ever done has signed me up for the New York Times so I can read things for free.
That's so
nice.
And then
someone just signed me up for the Washington Post as well.
What? And
I was like, this is so kind. Like, of course I can just do it myself, but I'm not going to.
No.
I read this article about happiness yesterday that, like, blew my fucking clit off.
Yeah.
So, like, it was this man who was a professor and he was studying happiness. And he did a study with lottery winners and people who've been in accidents and then just like a controlled group of people where nothing had happened to them.
Uh-huh.
And the result was happiness doesn't make us happy or like keep us living. Unhappiness fuels us.
Right.
And I was like, this is really fucking interesting. And then it gets really fucked up because then it talks about the person who did the study who jumped off a building and like was...
What?
Yeah, he like unraveled in front of a bunch of psychologists, which is like the most interesting point of the article, because it was like all of the people who were like, who could have saved him were in front of him and watched him unravel. I recommend it. It's a very interesting article that takes a hard fucking turn.
Hard
and you're like,
turn.
What the
you're
fuck?
Like, dude, what? That sounds crazy. That's fascinating. I want to read that for sure.
Yeah. And then I was like, and you talking about people being so negative on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, I think like saying something negative and then like seeing other people pile on and be like, yeah, that's right. That sucks.
Yeah.
Fuels people.
I think so too. I mean, it's the same. I mean, listen, I love it too. And it's the same thing of when you're like in a group and you, or you like meet a new person and then you like mildly talk shit on someone and then they start mildly talking shit on someone and you're like, oh yeah, now we can be friends. You know, it's the same feeling of like, oh yeah, we on the same team. And so I think especially with Twitter. With Twitter, it's really like that, because it's just like, I think it's, I don't know. There's something about like, if people are too positive on Twitter, I bet, you know, followers or anyone would be like, who is this idiot? Like, who's this asshole? So it's like, you feel like you want to join the club and be like, yeah, 2020 fucking sucks. But then it's like, you have your new baby in the bassinet and you're like, literally people with like new children are complaining. Uh-huh. And I'm like, does nothing bring you happiness? Because I think that's supposed to bring some people happiness. So what's up?
And if you think about it, like on the flip side, if they had their baby at any other point, they would be spending so much time away from their baby.
Yes.
And that would be a point of contention. They'd be like, I wish I had time to spend with my baby, this, that, and the other. And you're like,
exactly.
Yeah. I think it's like, my mom used to always be like, everyone's mom's like, the grass is always greener on the other side. But she would break it down and be like, you know, bitches who want short hair have long hair and vice versa. And she's like, you'll never have what you actually want. And once you have it, you'll want something else.
Yeah.
If you give a mouse a fucking cookie. She read that book to me so many times because I was but I want this and I want this.
Yeah.
And she's like, how do I fucking teach this idiot that she'll never be satisfied?
Right.
This book?
It's so crazy because it's literally like you're standing on, you know, a hill or something. You've accomplished all of these things. Like if you're an adult, truly just like supporting yourself and like living on your own is a huge accomplishment because it's hard to do. But then you're always like looking to the next thing. Like, okay, but what's next? But what's next? I mean, this is all, you know, this is, I feel like I ended up talking about that a lot in therapy too, because I'm always just like, yeah. I don't care if I have this. I want that. And it's like, well, bitch, like enjoy this right now because you never know.
Yes. I did this college show a couple months ago. It was like a little virtual show. Not a little. It was a virtual show. And one of the students, the moderator said, what is your proudest accomplishment? And I said, I don't have one. And he goes, what? I said, I don't have one. I'm not dead yet. When I'm dead, you can compile all of my accomplishments and then you decide which one's the greatest. And he was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh, I don't think you understand that, like, once you get something, you want more.
Yeah.
So, like, nothing will be the greatest thing until I'm dead.
Yeah.
And I think I shook his whole fucking world.
Yeah, he was like, what? I don't understand. Yeah, it's crazy. But it's like, I think that Matthew McConaughey said something like that in, like, his Oscar speech. And I think that sometimes it is good because it motivates you to keep working harder and, like, not just being happy with, like, the status quo. I think he said something like, what? Like, I'm looking at myself when I'm, like, when I'm 25, I'm looking, my biggest hero is when I'm 35. And when I'm 35, my biggest hero will be me when I'm 45. It's like he's always looking forward to, like, the person he's going to become. So there's, I think there's a benefit to that. But, yeah, it's hard not to look at things like that.
It is hard. It is, I think it's very hard to celebrate things. I do not celebrate things in the present. I'm always like, great, that happened. Let's figure out how I get to what I want next, which maybe is not the healthiest way to live.
I know. It's like very motivated, but yeah, sometimes it's like, well, damn, we're missing out on all the fun stuff right now.
Mm-hmm. And my therapist, she tells me, she's like, you have to celebrate the now just a little bit.
I dated this guy that had knuckle tattoos. Okay. Mm-hmm. I go a little crazy. He had the words right now tattooed on his knuckles, but it was like R-I-G-H on one hand and then T-K-N-O-W or whatever, right now on his hands, because it was like he always had to remind himself like to enjoy this moment as it's happening, because this is, you know, you're never going to get it again.
But could he see it when he looked at it, or he had to look in a mirror?
He'd have to look in a mirror, I think, because if he was looking down at it, it would be from above. And then, he's just trying to make everybody else think. That's what he's doing.
Everyone else to be in the right now.
Mm-hmm. We're all in the right now. We're staring at his knuckles trying to figure out what's happening.
Where did you meet him?
We worked at a brewery together. We're still friends. He's a nice guy. Yeah. Yeah. We worked at this brewery together, and like I pretty much think everybody was sleeping with somebody at some point. You know how it goes.
Yes. That's one of the things I miss about the service industry, because you could just like get real drunk after work and just hook up with somebody. And then it truly is no thing. Like you go back to work the next day and you're like, whatever.
Right.
We were drunk. It happened.
Yeah. You're like, it's just whatever. But then you start, I mean, I'm a, you know, kind of jealous bitch. So then you see them flirting with somebody else and you're like, hold up. I'm supposed to be your work crush. But yeah, it is. It's so just like that. Like, especially when we have like beer that we're brewing and you're just like, try this new beer that we've got, and then like three beers later you're like, I mean, do you want to go make out or what?
I miss that part about serving.
Me too.
They'd be like, the bartender would be like, I made a new cocktail, would you like to taste it? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All of my tables can wait.
Yes, they can all wait while I get drunk and then go back to serving them. Because honestly, it'll make me a better server. So why not?
It'll just make me happier.
It'll make me happy.
I'll want to hear more about what you don't like to eat.
That's right. Like, you can complain all day to me. That's actually another job, I think, where people bond over being negative. Is like, you can just sit there and bitch all day, but it feels so good to just be complaining.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I didn't, when I like served, I didn't have very much to complain about. I was a terrible server. Like, if anything, all of my tables should have been like, this stupid, goofy bitch was so bad at the job. She needs to get the fuck up out of here. But I do miss it because it was easy to milk money out of people.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You can upsell them. You can, you know, just be nice, just a little bit nice to them. You know, I heard like if you, I mean, now it seems weird to say this, but if you like touch somebody like on their back while you're, or the shoulder or something while they're ordering, like, what can I get for you? Just give them a little tap. Then they're willing, they're going to tip more. Like, it's like little psychology things like that. You just fuck with them.
Whoa.
Makes me sound terrible.
That I did not realize.
It's not like flirty or weird. It's just like literally just being friendly sometimes makes people like, let me give you things. Let me give you money.
I would do things like, what would I do? I would like lean, not like squat. Squatting was like a thing where I was like, no. But I would just like lean and like have a big old smile and be like, guys, hi.
Like, hey, guys, I'm sure people loved you with that voice. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi. What would you like to eat? One of my favorite things I've ever done. I don't have a good memory. I have ADD. If I'm all over the place, it's because I didn't take my medicine. But I like walked over to a table and I was like, okay, what do you guys want? And it was maybe a table of six people. Everyone told me what they wanted. There was so many modifications. And I realized midway through, I was like, oh shit, I don't have my pad.
Oh,
I'm not going to remember this. So I let them finish instead of interrupting them and going, I need to get my pad. And then I went to the computer and was like, oh, who am I kidding? I truly don't know what these people ordered. So I walked back and I was like, okay, guys, here's some fun that happened. I didn't write any of that down. So you're going to have to do it again one more time. And I think I sang for a little bit and they were like fine with it because I was out of my mind.
They're just like, this is a party. We can't even be mad at you. I did that all the time too. And then it's a lot of the times like, you're like, oh no, I can remember it. And then someone might even say to you, how are you remembering all of this? And then you forget it. And you're like, oh fuck.
And you're like, oh shit, I don't fucking know.
I don't fucking know, man. Yeah, I would do that I would forget things all the time. Or I'd accidentally throw away a ticket I just wrote down. I mean, that's the worst. I mean, you did a good job with the singing and dancing. They're going to not even notice what's happening. But if I apologized too much and then I'd get like people mad at me. Because I gave them that weak spot, you know?
I didn't really ever apologize. I would just be like, something bad happened, you know? And I wouldn't be like, I did this bad thing. I was like, just a bad thing happened.
Yeah.
Or I'd be like, dang, the kitchen, I just went in there and they messed it all up.
Yeah.
So it's going to be another like 20 minutes. Guys, the kitchen.
The kitchen is crazy right now. I mean, if you saw what's going on in there. And you'd be like, I'm in there and I'm really asking for your food. I don't know where it is. But if I'm you like, could just tell me one more time, how did you want that steak cooked?
Yeah, was it well done or medium?
It was well done, right?
I'm going to march in that kitchen and I'm going to let them know that you said medium well.
You said medium well. And what did you say? You said broccoli on the side too, right?
Truly the worst. My roommate, Jen, used to get so mad at me. She would be like, I don't know how you make more money than me sometimes. And I was like, because I'm bad.
Yeah.
Maybe if you did worse, you would get more money.
Yeah. They feel sorry for you. And then they're also like, well, when she messed up, she sang that fun, cute song.
And you're like, she was just so adorable.
We were dancing. She was adorable. Here's all our money.
And I would wear a vest and a tie sometimes, and that was not our uniform.
Oh my God. You're like, I just came up with some flair and put pins all over my vest. I don't know. What's the uniform?
Yeah, they were like, are we at TGI Fridays? And the answer was no. We're in Midtown at a fucking Indian restaurant.
Oh my God, you worked in Midtown waiting tables. Oh, was that crazy? I feel like that would be crazy.
It was very bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard. I was not good at it. It's on season one, episode two of Kitchen Nightmares. You can see what it was. It's since closed. It was called Pernima. Now it's called, I don't remember. Something else opened in that space and I can't remember what it's called. But last time I went there, my dealer was still there in the corner where he usually sits. And this was like 5 or 6 years after I worked there. And I was like, my friend. And he was like, my friend. And I was like, do you have, and I said it so loudly what my order was. Uh-huh. He was like, so you haven't changed. You have to shut the fuck up.
You're like, I do not know how to be stealth. Wait, so is this a man that he just goes, he's a regular at the restaurant? I can imagine this man just like sitting in the corner all the time and hanging out.
Yeah, he sat in the corner of the bar every single night and just dealt yummy drugs.
Yes!
Just a lot of cocaine, baby.
That's the way to keep it popping in Midtown when you're waiting tables, I'm sure.
Wait, where have you worked? Have you been in LA a long time?
I have been in LA since 2015. I was gone. I was in New York for a year while I was doing a job there. But 2015 is when I moved here the first time.
Okay.
I worked everywhere. I mean, because I lived in Chicago for a long time, and that's where I waited tables at every type of place. Like, I worked at, like, some, like, upscale, you know, clubby type cool places. I worked at the brewery, which was, the brewery was, like, I think the longest job I had, and the most drama, because I hooked up with one guy, I dated another one there, and the one I dated was crazy. What else? So I've done everything. I waited at like breakfast places in college towns. Like I waited tables for like, I don't know, 10, 15 years, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it's the easiest way to make money without taking off your clothes.
Yep. Someone called it too, the golden handcuffs. So have you ever heard of that phrase?
No.
Where it's like impossible to leave because you're like, you're almost like trapped by the job because the money is so good and so easy.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get a job. Like when anywhere you move, you can just be like, oh, I'll just go wait tables there for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like almost kind of like a writing job. Like once you've written somewhere, people are like, oh, she can write.
Yes.
Once you've gotten a job waiting tables, you're like, oh, she can wait tables. But yeah, we just, it's like one of three POS systems.
Yeah.
Point of sale if you're not in the industry.
Yeah, we've got Aloha.
Oh, Aloha was hard for me.
Aloha is probably the hardest one, I think. Micros, I remember liking.
That one was easy for me. That one, I think, is the one we used at Pranima.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. Oh, it was Chat and Chew that I think used Aloha. And I was like, I don't fucking know this one.
No. Yeah, it's hard. Wait, did you work at more than one restaurant or just worked at that one?
Just the one. And I was a hostess with the mostest.
Yay.
For one day at a restaurant in Chelsea called Elmo, and then they called me too jolly, and I was fired.
Too jolly,
I think, code for too fat.
Oh my god!
Fine, I showed up to work in a black turtleneck and a silver pleather mini skirt that I got from a Goodwill, and I thought I looked cute. I still maintain I looked cute.
It sounds like a cute outfit.
The second manager was not feeling me, and I think I was too cheerful.
Yeah.
I think it was like too fat and too cheerful. And he was like, we don't want Black Santa here. Get the fuck up out of here.
Not year round. No, thank you.
Yeah. And then I was a hostess at Chat and Chew, which is in New York. I think it closed.
Yeah.
It used to be around the corner from Coffee Shop, where that was like a restaurant where all the servers were models in Union Square. But that one was fun. And sometimes I'd help the girls out by like getting waters and stuff, and then our manager Booba, he'd be like, what are you doing, get back to the front. And that's not me doing an accent. I don't know what his accent was. I just know that he didn't open his mouth.
Right, that sounded like some kind of like Italian New York hybrid with something else mixed in. What are you doing?
He looked like the black version of Grimace, like, and that's not me being rude. That is just me being accurate.
You're just telling facts.
Yeah, he just looked like a bowling pin or something. Like, he was the weirdest shaped man I've ever seen. And one day I was like, ooh, Booba, what should I get for a family meal? And he goes, I might have told this story before, whatever. But he was like, you probably never heard this before, but you should go home, sit down, and drink some water. And I was like, I can't believe this fucking big ass man is telling me to drink water. He don't know what water is.
Sir, also, you cannot survive on water alone. You got to get a little lunch in there. We need some family meal.
Just a little bit. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Let's take a break real quick. Ooh, we're back. Okay, so tell me about your dating history?
My dating history is, I guess you could say it's kind of rocky. I feel like dating was very easy for me until I graduated college. Mm. And then ever since then, it's always been me picking the wrong people. Now I realize that, but it used to just be me being like, why am I always ending up with bad guys? But it's now I know
from therapy that a lot of it was my choices and that I do have my own set of intimacy issues. But anyway,
the longest relationship I've ever had was I dated my math TA. He like was our teacher for all intents and purposes for my math class in college. We started dating at the end of the semester, but not before the finals. So he helped tutor me before the final.
Oh, okay.
I was like, baby, can I have a little extra help?
He's like, I'll tutor your pussy and your brain.
Yeah. I was like, bitch, yes, please get up in there. Teach me how to do the things. But yeah, so that was the longest relationship I had for 4 years. And then I moved to Chicago, where I feel like I just started experiencing a slew of fuckboys. Mm-hmm. I just have the worst luck, but there literally can be like a lineup of like 10 men and I will always pick the worst one. That's just always the one I'm attracted to.
Yeah, sure. I feel you.
So I don't know. There's something about that I'm into. I dated this guy. He was like an opera singer, cyclist, / worked at the same theater that I worked. Another work person. And he was very funny. He was like a very handsome man, very nice. But then just like one day we were watching a movie and I had my feet up on the ottoman.
And he was like, whoa, you have kind of big feet for a girl, huh?
And I was like, I like knew from that moment. I was like, yeah, we're not going to last. And then 2 weeks later, he was like, hey, I think we should cool it. And I was like, what do you mean cool it?
Oh, no.
He didn't like my big feet, I guess. I dated him. I dated the guys at the brewery that I worked with. One of the guys I dated was super cuckoo bananas. He was like very controlling and like it was kind of funny because he's one of those guys that when you're dating them, you like think that they're really hot. And then when you stop dating them, you're like, oh my gosh, he looks like a little rat. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, why did I ever find that person attractive? Like, he's literally like this like small teeny dude. I don't know. I always ended up dating like skinny white musicians or bartenders. Mm,
okay.
The bartenders I've kind of tapered off of, but the musicians, it was hard for me to break that.
Yeah, like a bartender because they're good at talking. Like, they're just, like, they're good at talking. They're fun to be around. I just dated a bartender where we, like, mutually were like, the pandemic, let's, like, cool, like, let's not do this anymore. Yeah. And then in May, I was like, I'm horny. And I texted him, and then he was like, we're still cooling it, and didn't answer. And I was like, perfect. But then I was like, why am I chasing this man who plays Dungeons and Dragons where his like character is a little person who thinks he's in Les Mis? Why am I chasing this person?
It's a dick. It gets you tricked.
I mean, I don't even know if it was that. I think it was just like, I like being near you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, I feel like, I don't know, with the pandemic, I feel like I would like being near anybody.
Yeah, the pandemic truly, really isolates you and makes you feel wholly alone.
I was laughing the other day because I had a phone conversation with some guy about a job for like 3 minutes. And when we got off the phone, I was like Googling his name. And like, I was like, who is this? He sounds cute. Like, who is this? Of course, he's married, but I was just like, ooh, you know, and like, I feel like during the pandemic, I've had crushes on like the most random people and tried, I don't know, because it's just like, I don't know. It feels in the way it felt like the end of the world. So you're like, oh shit, I didn't line something up for the end of the world.
Yeah. I think about that a lot. I'm like, if the world will end tomorrow, like, you know that scene in Titanic where the two old people are like, we're going to go down with the ship. And they're just like in bed holding each other as the water rushes under them. I was like, I want that.
Yeah.
When the asteroid comes towards Earth or the aliens finally are like, you fucking dumbasses, we're done with you.
Yeah.
We don't need to study you anymore because you're idiots. I want, you know, somebody to hold. And I don't have that right now.
No, it's so hard. Yeah. My last relationship was like fucking 3 years ago or something like that. And after we broke up, it was a real nasty real nasty relationship. He was a big liar, was lying about a lot. And I was just like mind blown slash didn't know what to do. Kept dating him when I shouldn't have. And then like the breakup was so bad that after that, I just didn't really date anybody. And so I'm like, I've been fine with it. I am fine with it. But yeah, when the ship is going down, you're like, wait, I need someone's hand to hold. Like, what the hell?
Like, I broke my ankle like a little bit ago. And when I was sponge bathing myself on the side of the bathtub alone, I was like, if I was in a relationship and the person actually loved me, they would help me with this.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't ask my roommate, John Millhiser, to like sponge bathe me.
Right.
And the nice man I live with, his boyfriend, at one point I said something. I was like, am I stinky? And he was like, no, you're not stinky. You're fine. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, you did take a shower yesterday, right? And I was like, I did. I got the good spots, my pits under the titties and my pussy. And then I don't think I've ever heard a man laugh harder at me. I was like...
You're like all proud of yourself. But then I was like,
we'd have to be really deep in a relationship for someone to like sponge bathe my titties.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is it's like, damn, if you are going to get in a relationship, it's like, I need it to just be 6 months in immediately at least.
Yes.
Because first of all, I never even have the energy to try to get to know some of these damn fools because some of them are just fools and you're like, please just stop talking to me. But then it's like, I don't want to have any kind of falseness or any kind of awkwardness. I want to just be fully comfortable and like nasty in front of someone. I'm like, I want you to see me when I'm like needing to be sponge bathed or whatever. Yeah.
I once had a boy fart on me and I was like, and it was a rotten fart. It was like, you are sick inside. And I was like, this might be it. I was so excited because I was like, this person is so comfortable with me that they did this to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't last because that's just the way my life works, I guess.
Yeah. I've been feeling really like, I don't know, because I feel like I always see these girls on TikTok, the teens and the young 20s. I always see them on TikTok and they're like, when you you can't make it past the talking stage. Like, that's what I feel like now. And I'm just like... I'm always like talking, maybe flirting and texting with guys. And then all of a sudden they'll have a girlfriend or they'll just completely not be interested anymore, whatever it is. And I'm just like, yo, I cannot keep having these like talking phases with these dudes.
That's why I instituted this rule. Maybe it's like a year old at this point. Mm-hmm. I will truly only talk to someone. I will only go back and forth with them for like a week. And if they haven't asked me out, then I don't talk to them anymore.
That's really smart. I need to start doing that.
I just let it die because I don't want a pen pal. I want someone who wants to like ask me out.
Right.
And I had a dating coach who was like, you should be asking people out. And I was like, that hasn't worked for me in the past.
Yeah.
So I'm doing something different. And like, this has worked for me a little bit.
Right. I have like a weird, hard rule. My rule now is that I will not ask someone out because I don't know. It was just like my last relationship was like one of those situations where the guy's like, I like you. I'm just not looking for anything serious right now. And then like my dumb ass hears, I like you. And then is like, fuck the rest. I don't hear the rest of it, you know? So then I spent, you know, a year and a half of my life trying to get some guy who was talking to another woman the whole time. Like, I was trying to get him to love me. And it's like, that's fucking pointless. So it's hard for me now because I feel like a lot of people will say that to me too. Like, well, maybe they don't know that you like them. Maybe that's why you kind of end up just being friends with them or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. First of all, I feel like I'm flirting. Second of all, I don't want to ask a guy out because I personally am kind of old school and just don't think that works. I mean, it's not even old school. It's just having that bad experience of it not working.
Well, every time I've like chased a man, it truly has not worked out.
No.
And then the last couple of people I've dated for more than a date, they've chased me.
Yeah.
And then things changed when I was like, you've got me. Now I can tell you that I like you. And then they're like, yuck, yikes, tuh, I don't want you anymore. Never did, you stupid bitch.
Yes.
So I've said it before on the podcast. I'll say it again. My therapist disagrees with me, but I will die before I tell another man how I feel.
I think you're right.
Die. I would be at the altar in a wedding dress. And I would die before I tell that man that I'm in love with him and want to be with him forever. So just like, Nicole, what are your vows? And I'm like, I don't know. come back to me. Like, I won't.
You're like, let him say his first. Let him say all his first.
You say yours first. I'll see your, what do you mm-hmm. have to say?
Does he have something to sign? Can he give me a little blood first? Because I'm not saying nothing until I know this man locked
truly.
In. But also, so you really, so you won't even tell him once you're dating them that you have feelings
no.
for them?
No. No, because the last two times I've done that, a ghost of a girlfriend came back to town and he got God. Back with her. And then the other time was, I don't know if I believe in monogamy.
Oh,
and
Jesus
I was like,
Christ.
Cool. And then, I mean, bad on me because we did go out a couple other times. And I was like, I'm going to try again because I'm the most fun person he's ever fucking
yeah.
met.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are you sure? And then he was like, I truly don't know this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool. Then like, let's just keep fucking and hanging out because like I'm having fun. And then I think he was like, I think she's going to try to like really like go for it again. And I should have right. been like, I'm not going to ask you again. I was just double checking to make sure you're stupid. Now that I know you're stupid, I want to keep fucking you because it's a dick that I know. And I don't yeah. want to get to know a dick.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm like, I really am not sure. I've been finding myself lately with the people that I am attracted to. They're either friends or like somehow professionally kind of affiliated with me or mm-hmm. like I used to or I've slept with them before because I'm like, I really don't feel like meeting some like random person and just trying to get to know them that
right?
way.
It's annoying really and it yeah. sucks. And then like, I don't know, wading through like, what do you do? Cause like you've written yeah. for stuff, you've been on TV. It's yeah. like, it's weird to be like, I'm on TV.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I think it's really hard. It's really hard because, yeah, and it's like one of those things too where it takes a specific kind of dude.
Yes.
Especially for women like us. Like, we have personalities. Like, we own mm-hmm. a room. We own the space. We take up space when we're in the room. And, like, a man has to truly be okay with that, not just, like, say that mm-hmm. they like a funny woman. You know, because, like, a dude will be like, I love a funny woman. And you're like, bitch, I'm actually very funny.
Yes, I'm very funny. Your friends are gonna love me.
Your friends are gonna love
your
me.
Your parents are gonna love me.
I'm probably gonna be more popular than you.
Get ready for this. Yeah, yeah. Your friends are gonna be calling me to hang out instead of you. So yeah. fucking get ready for that.
Yeah, so get on board with it. But, yeah, I think it's really hard to, like, find someone that actually supports that. I feel like also personally, I don't know, just as having lived in New York, LA. I mean, you've lived in not Chicago. You were just New York and LA, right?
But my family lives in Chicago, so okay. I spent just a touch of time there
so
on the south side.
Connection. You've got a little connection to
just
the south
a little
side.
Bit.
Because what I'm saying is, like, between Chicago, New York, and LA. Oh my God, LA men are just very. I feel like I never want to say it because I want them to like me, but like, I feel like there's a lot of very sad men here.
I fully fucking agree.
Dude, it's like the same thing. It's the same thing we were talking about earlier, where it's like, they're all the men in LA are always like, yeah, sure, I have a job, but I want that job. And it's like, mm-hmm. bitch, you're never going to get that job. Or even if uh-huh. you do, it's going to be years. So why don't you just be happy with where you are right now? But they never are. And so they can never fully be with the women that they're with, especially if the woman is mm-hmm. doing well, you know?
And then you see a lot of these fucking nerds with money with these hot women. So then right. these fucking nerds who want that job, who are years away from getting that job, are like, well, I want a hot girl. But I gotta yeah. say, every dude I've dated in LA who I've seen who they've dated after me is uglier than me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing to this fucking ugly ass bitch when you could have had this?
But maybe it's because it makes them feel better or something. Like, I've every time I've seen a guy go from me to someone else, it's always like some fucking dumbass idiot. And I don't know. I don't want to be too mean to him, but it's always like, oh, I mean, that I'm like smarter or whatever. But it's like they're mm-hmm. easier. They're maybe easier. You know, they ask yeah. less questions. They're white or whatever it is. You know what I mean? They're just not me. And so it's easier. And yeah, then, but then it's like when you see that shit, you're just like, I'm glad I'm not with you because obviously mm-hmm. you can't handle all of this. And all of this is only going to keep doing more and more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to stop for you. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's dating is truly, it's hard, but then like necessary.
Yeah. Because
you can't just like sit around. I mean, it would be so nice to have someone knock on my door and be like, hello, it's me, boyfriend. And I'm like, come
yes.
in, boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, I love Monique. And Monique was talking about joining OnlyFans. And she's like, I thought it was, you know, this bad thing. Just a lot of naked, nasty people. And that's just for my husband, my boyfriend, my fiance, and my boyfriend. And I was like, wait, Monique has four partners?
Yes.
I knew she was in an open relationship, but I was like, but there's like four on rotation? Teach me your ways. Girl. Maybe I should have Monique on the podcast to literally be like, teach me your ways. How have you done this? She's a strong fucking woman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I need to know the secret too, because I really don't know what it is. And I feel like part of me now is so easily triggered by dudes. Like at the slightest hint of maybe a ghost, I'm like, fuck you. And like, I'm going to run away too. So I make it impossible. So it's, yes, I want to know how people do it. I want to know how people go from one relationship almost immediately into the next one. Like, I'm like, how the fuck?
That blows my mind, especially like, someone they've been with for like 2-3 years straight into another one. I'm like, yes. What about those? Like, you spent so much time with somebody.
Yes.
And you like loved somebody and you are just going to like shut them away and start getting to know somebody else so quickly. It's crazy. I guess I feel too much to do that. I couldn't. I could never.
Well, I think so too. And I think personally, I mean, it's like, yeah, I feel too much. That's why I'm not always great at dating too, though, because I'll like somebody and so then I'll only like that one person and not still date around, which is a mistake because then you end up sometimes with spending your time all on the wrong person.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I don't get that either. Like, especially like these people that live together and then they move out and then like the next month or two later, they have a new boyfriend or girlfriend. It's like, how the fuck? Because also it's like, don't you need time to heal? Don't you need time to learn and grow? And like, and yeah, and like, I don't know, get that person out of your system, but like in a way, not in a way of just distracting yourself with like a new full-on boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, that's crazy to me. I just could never do it.
Yeah, me either. It just seems so fucking batshit bonkers.
I felt like especially, even if it's a healthy breakup, it's like, you still need time to like, I don't know, be yourself. But some people don't want to be with their own thoughts. Like some people just cannot be on their own because then they end up losing their minds. They have to have people to distract them at all times. I'm just not like that. I can't do that.
I'm like kind of like that. Like I don't think I could ever live alone. But anytime my roommate is gone, anytime John like leaves, I'm just like, oh, okay, this isn't so bad. It's like, whatever. I just prefer to know that one day someone will come scream with me again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good. It's good. It's nice to have a little bit of solo time. I mean, I can go on the other end of that spectrum, but sometimes too much too, because then I'll like alienate myself from everybody and be like, why don't I have any friends? And it's like, bitch, because you always tell people you don't want to hang out. What the fuck you expect? Because
you don't hang out with anybody or call anybody.
They're not going to want to hang out with you if you always say no. But I don't do that as much anymore. But yeah. Yeah.
So are you on yes, you're on the apps.
I'm on the apps. I'm on Hinge. And that's it.
Okay.
You know, I was tried to get on Raya, and I've gotten 2 or 3 friend passes at this point. And I fully, first of all, think they're racist because they
don't think it's fully racist.
It's fucked up. And I've been on the waiting list for years and years now. So I'm just like 3 years. And so I'm just like, whatever. But at this point, I'm like, come on. I've gotten 2 friend passes. I thought that was just a guaranteed in to get on Raya.
I was on the wait list, I think, for 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. I think 2. But yeah, it's fucking, it's racist. It's fully fucking racist. But like, once you get on there, you're like, so I'm paying $30 a month to see like Australian DJs and weird models. Oh, like, God. It's nobody you've ever cared about one time in your life.
Yeah.
And I went on one date from it, and that person asked me to read their screenplay. Oh. So
that could also probably be pretty problematic, I feel like, for a lot of people on Raya. Raya is probably a big networking thing, too, because everybody's like, oh, everybody on here is like exclusive, hot, like, you know, whatever, popular, working. Yeah, that's a lot. I wouldn't be able to do that.
But what is, okay, let's go through your Hinge and let's go through mine.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so let me see your first picture.
Okay, oh, so you can see it, okay.
This is cute.
Can you see with my real ring light thing on? Okay, there you go.
This is cute. It's you with curly hair. You're showing off that long neck. And you're wearing just like a black sweater and you got some hoops. And you look like you mean business.
I mean business. I'm like, hey, what's up? That's me. That's the picture that gets the most. I just recently changed my pictures because I also have a weird thing where I don't really like when guys like the pictures of me with the most makeup on because I'm like, that's not even what I look like.
Fair.
You keep scrolling?
Yeah.
Do you want to see my answers to things?
Yeah.
So what do I say? The hallmark of a good relationship is similar communication vibes. It may seem trivial, but being able to have a fun back and forth combo via text or DMing is huge to me, especially now. Wacky face.
I think that's one of the reasons why you keep getting into situations where you're just like texting for forever.
God, that's a good point.
Because you're literally telling them, you're like, I like a good back and forth.
I will talk forever. Well, I don't even... Lately, I haven't even been responding to Hinge people. I just can't. But that is probably a huge part of it. Because the last time I was on Hinge, I did definitely have a very long conversation with one person. Mm-hmm. We went out, but like we only went out twice. And so it wasn't worth all of the fucking hours of convo, you know?
This is cute. This is like a headshot. We got straight hair. You're looking into the sun. You're laughing. A real tee-hee-hee.
Yeah, exactly. Barely any makeup. Just natural me living life. My friend took that.
Well, you've got good skin and you're pretty. So, like, thanks. You can get away with it. I've got, like, terrible acne scars. And I think people would be like, yikes. I don't want this. Oh, wait. You're 5'9"? Yeah. You are tall.
5'9". I'm very tall.
See, that's nice.
I put don't have children, open to children, which I don't even know about all that. I don't know anymore. I don't drink. So I put that I don't drink because I feel like it's, I don't know if people notice that, but sometimes it is awkward, like not drinking and going on dates. Because guys are weird about that.
I think people in general are weird about that. Like,
they are.
My sister doesn't really drink, so I'm, like, used to it. So I'm, like, if you don't order a cocktail, I'm not going to be like, why aren't you drinking? Mm-hmm. Because it's, like, who cares? You just didn't order something.
Right. I know people, it's an interesting thing because it's, like, you lose a lot of friends when you stop drinking, which is fine because it's just, like, you realize it's people you only had drinking in common with. But then there's also a lot of this, especially with dates. And I'm, like, I don't like this on dates because if I'm on a date, I want the dude to get drunk. I'm letting you get lit. I want you to try to make a fucking move. I want you to get drunk. That's fun. That's what's fun about dates is when it gets kind of wild. And I can still get wild. I just don't get drunk. But also it does this thing sometimes with people where it makes them feel like called out or like insecure in a weird way of like being like, oh, well, I don't really drink that much. It doesn't matter. You know, like I don't even need a drink. And it's like, no, first of all, you can have a drink. Second of all, I'm not judging you for your drinking habits. I just quit. It wasn't even this big of a deal. I just quit. And then I got an app that counted the days. And so then I was like, I like counting days. I'm just going to keep counting them forever. I mean, it's so weird, but yeah, so dating without drinking has also been a new experience and not as fun for me, but that's just it. You know?
Fair. This is a good picture. So we're in an office, it looks like.
It's a trailer. And I don't normally put work pictures because I don't put what I do for a living because I don't know. I feel like people are like, actor. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of like that sometimes.
I'm always like that. If a man is on a stage holding a microphone, I always go, no, thank you. I don't know what it is. I'm just like, I don't want to deal with like an open mic comic, like not to be an asshole.
No,
but like, right. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with someone being like, I just got my first road gig and this and that. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know how to talk to you. Like, we're just in different places.
I think that's really tough. I think if they're in the same world, they have to be at this, that does kind of sound weird, but it's like at the same level or higher.
Yeah.
And I only say that because it's like, you don't want to have to kind of like be the guide necessarily.
I don't want to teach you. I don't want to be your Sherpa through this. I don't want to give you advice.
Yeah.
I don't, which it sounds mean, but I'm like, so not only do I have to love you, I then have to coach you through things. Yeah. And that being said, maybe they're not asking me to coach them through things, but I'll feel like I need to when I'm like, oh, why are you doing it like this? You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I would too. I would definitely feel like I'd have to say I'd be side coaching even if I wasn't being asked. But I'm a helper. I like to help these men, which is why I sometimes end up with the wrong ones. I just want to help. Want me to show you my answer? I get along best with people who love to laugh and get very excited by small everyday things, holidays, road trips. I also love people who will make me good playlists.
I like that. That's good.
Okay.
That's super fucking cute.
Because I feel like I get like very excited about just everything. And I've been told a lot by like some kind of more curmudgeon-y people that I'm like too excited by too many things. And so I'm like, if I see a cool house, I'm like, oh my God, that's such a pretty house. Like I just get excited about shit. So like I want somebody that's not going to think that that's annoying because then they're not going to want to be with me.
Yeah. I will write down street names when I see a wall that I like. Yeah. And then I will make people return to that wall with me and take pictures of me in front of said wall.
Okay, I love this. So you get it.
Yes. I love a fun door. I'll write down where I saw that door. Exactly. Okay, here's mine.
Yes.
So let's see. I also have no lights turn on in my house because, you know, you can't be wasting those lights. Okay, so.
Cute. Like the prints. Like the outfit. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just, it's on the streets of Boston in front of the Wilbur Theater. I sold out that night, but I didn't include the marquee because I don't want you to know my business.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm wearing a.
This is Hinge. Okay.
A flannel scarf, leopard print and flowers. It's a lot.
I love it.
And then the question is, dream dinner guest. I said the Minions. Easy to social distance with. Them bitches tiny. And then
that's hilarious.
A picture of me in a split.
Okay, so we know she's flexible, but also fun.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what I thought.
It's more of a fun pic. It's more of a like, look what I'm doing. I'm just hanging out. That's fun. I love that.
And then I said yes to drinking, yes to smoking, yes to weed, and yes to pills. I'm down for fun.
Oh my God, I love this. That's so funny. Oh my God, it's so cute.
Me with my hair on top of my head next to a dog with its hair on top of its head.
Very similar hairstyles.
My childhood crush is Captain Picard from Star Trek.
I think that's a good question to include too, because then it shows kind of like what your type is, like who you think is cute, even if it's when you're a kid.
Funny though, I've never dated a bald-headed person. Oh wait, maybe one. Yeah, one. But yeah, Captain Picard does it for me. And then this is what I wanted to be when I grew up, a bus driver or a mechanic.
Oh my God, I love it.
And then there's a picture of me and Guy Fieri getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Is that a real picture? It looks like it's green screen.
Yeah, someone photoshopped that for me. And it's one of my favorite pictures. And then there's a picture of me roller skating, but I'm in a gutter. So I feel like it shows off I'm fun, but maybe people see it and they're like, she's too fun.
Yeah. It looks, I mean, to me, it looks very fun. It looks like you like to party.
Right?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's cool to show your personality and not just have like cutesy pics, because it's like you want to, like if people are going to hang out with you, they're going to be roller skating. They're going to be doing the splits on the street.
Yes.
You know, like all of that crazy shit. They're not just going to be like, you know, standing in a meadow posed. So it's like, it's good to see what they're really going to get. I think it's like the more like true to what your personality is, like the makeup looks and like the style you're putting on, like the more you do that, the more people are going to see the real you. So they might as well just see who you really are.
Yeah. And I mean, I do wear a ton of makeup. Yeah. So like, if someone were to date me, they probably wouldn't see my real face for a couple of months.
Yeah. Do you take it off? Like, do you take it off when you like sleep with somebody for the first time?
No.
Or?
No. I keep my wig on. I keep my makeup on, my lashes on. And like, it's like on the first date, it's always, I don't sleep at people's homes. I don't like doing it. I'm always like, peace out. Goodbye.
Yeah.
But like, there's been a couple people where I've slept over. And the first time I've slept in my contacts and been like, that was a mistake. Or I'll take out my contacts and I'll be like, I'm fully blind. So you're gonna like, it's not, I'm not asking you to be like a gentleman. You have to walk me out to the Uber because I can't read the license plate. Oh, no. Like if they live on like a busy-ish street. And then people I like return to fuck, I like bring a little kit where I have like my glasses or like extra contact lenses. But I still won't take off my wig or my makeup.
Oh my gosh. Is that uncomfortable? Like when you wake up, are you just like, holy shit? Or is it fine?
No, it's fine. I can sleep in a wig just fine. I don't know at what point to go, I'm a fully different person.
Yeah. That is a lot. Like that's a lot to show to somebody. That's why I think that's, for me, it's like, cause I rarely wear any like makeup and I don't, I don't know. My hair's always fucking bad. I don't know, but
it's not.
Cause I had this one picture where I had so much makeup on and I loved, like I looked good, but it was like super contoured, super like a ton of lashes. And like every guy would like that picture because it was just kind of like a little bit more spicy looking and they're like always liking it. And I'm like, I can't even actually pretend this is me. Cause I think if you wear the makeup all the time, then it's like, that's who you are.
But it's like, for me, it's like, I'm usually pretty scrubby, so I'm not trying to, I want them to be
underwhelmed and then be like, oh, she actually dresses like, up too.
She's cute. I get really scared of like, what if I like take my makeup wipes and I like wipe off all my makeup, take off my lashes, remove my wig, and then like he's fallen asleep and then wakes up and I'm like, hi.
And he's like, whoa.
And he's like, there's a monster in my bed.
Like, what if I happened? Yeah, that is crazy. It's also just everything about makeup is so interesting because then guys will be like, oh, girls lie to us. It's like, bitch, first of all, you wear hats. If you're wearing a hat and you wear a hat,
you guys you have all beards.
Beards and hats make such a huge difference. Huge difference.
Truly. And, like, ugh.
Yeah. So it's like, first of all, there's that. Second of all, it's like, so what? You guys like when we're wearing makeup. We look good. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's the problem? If we know how to put it back on, we can put it back on. Who cares?
I can be that person.
But I think that would be weird. No, I get it. Like, I think that would be uncomfortable. I think because it's like, for me, even with, you know, if you're wearing Spanx or something, you're like, I mean, I'll take them off, obviously. But it's like, how do you navigate
body sexily stuff and taking off your Spanx, especially when, because I've seen some women where I'm like, your body is fully different. Like, you're shaped like a bag of potatoes, and then you put on Spanx, and like, suddenly you're Marilyn Monroe.
I know.
How do you navigate that with a partner?
It's really interesting. Like, because like people use those corsets and stuff now too to give them that hourglass shape, and it's like, bitch, you look nothing like that when you take that thing off. It is, but I don't know. Yeah, because it's like, who cares? I don't know. I mean, if I were a dude and that was first of all even a thing, I would worry about. I wouldn't worry about it because it's like when you go out, she gonna look good as hell, and you know that. So then when you come home, who cares what she looks like? If she looks like a sack of potatoes, who can't see?
Yeah, that's right. I'm just a sack of potatoes that you have to look at. When we go out, I'll look beautiful for everybody.
You should wake up ready to fight. And so, like, when they wake up, just be like, yeah, this is what I look like.
Yeah, in case somebody fucking broke in. I'm ready.
I don't give a fuck. I'm going to scare them if they wake up. I ain't got no wig. I ain't got no nails. I ain't got no eyelashes. But this is what I look like. But when we go out, don't you worry about it. And then if you just start a fight in the morning before they even can question, then they'll be like, yeah, I like that.
Perfect. That's perfect advice. I think I'm going to start doing that. Yeah. I'm going to start a fight with my boyfriend. Yes. Yeah. I can do it. Yay.
Start a fight. Have you ever had an awkward moment with a guy when you take all of it off and they're weird about it?
No, I've never taken off. A man has never seen me without my makeup on.
He's never gotten to that level or just never would get to that level.
Because I've only dated people for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Like 2-3 months. And it's like, that's not enough time. Yeah, I've never had a partner sleep over at my house. I don't want someone ruining my happy place.
I kind of love that though. I know. I feel like is it Whoopi Goldberg who's like, I don't want some man in my house.
Yeah, I don't want some man in my fucking house.
I don't want some fucking man in my house. And I do think I've been getting like that too. Like sometimes when I think about dating again, I'm like, but the thing is, I like to sleep alone. I like to sleep with a guy, but like I also kind of don't want him to be there in the morning. Like I would even sleep, have a guy spend the night, but then leave at like 5. Cause it's like, I hate that like moment when you're like
5 a.m.
Yeah. Like, fuck it. Like, get out. Because it's like, then you don't have to be, cause I hate that conversation where you're like, do we get breakfast? Do I fucking make breakfast? I don't want to make breakfast. I don't know him like that. Like, that's the part where it gets awkward to me. So I don't love that.
I dated a dude who would feed me from his garden, and that was the nicest a man has ever treated me.
That's very nice. That's glamorous. That's
it was so wonderful.
Yeah.
But attached to somebody who did not want me. So that's I guess it wasn't as wonderful as I thought.
It's crazy. There's a woman on TikTok, I think, that does that where she has her exes fill out a form or something to say, like, why did you really end it, more or less. Sometimes I really wish that you could do that, but I don't, sometimes I'm scared. Like, would I really want to know why someone wasn't into me?
Here's the thing. You have to just remove yourself from it. Cause I've interviewed people I've hooked up with, on this podcast. I mean, that's where it came from. And then, you know, 3 years in or 2 years in, I don't know. I think I've been doing it for 3 years. I don't know. I'm over 100 episodes deep. I haven't fucked 100 people to interview on the podcast. But you kind of just have to remove yourself from it and be like, I actually really want to know.
Yeah.
And they can't really hurt your feelings. There's one unaired episode where I asked somebody why, and he said, I don't think you respect yourself. And I was like, well, I said you couldn't hurt them, but you were trying your hardest to hurt my feelings.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy to think, to have that kind of moment with somebody. I think that on some hand, on some plane or whatever, it would be cathartic, but then in another way, mm-hmm. you're just like, fuck this. I don't really want to
know. It's like, I don't need you being mean.
That's why I'm scared to like go to a psychic, because I'm like, I want to know, but I don't want to know what they're going to say.
I mean, I've yet to see a psychic that was any good.
Yeah.
Well, Nicole, we've come to the end. Oh, wait, here. Would you date me?
Oh, yes, of course I would. I think it'd be fun.
Oh, Nicole, what a dang treat. Okay, now we've come to the end. Do you have anything you want to promote?
I don't really think so. I'm not doing any shows. I mean, just like follow me on the internet and like, yes. You'll see if I do
Nicole's
stuff.
Nicole's Twitter is very funny.
Thank you.
I thoroughly enjoy it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're having fun on Twitter. I make videos every now and then. And like, I'm writing, everything I'm doing is like going to be in the future. So it's no point in plugging it now. But yeah, you'll just keep up with me on social and then you'll see what I'm doing in the future.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Here. Okay. This is it for sometimes I forget how to end my own podcast. This is it for this episode of Why Won't You Date Me? If you like this episode, you can rate it, you can like it, you can subscribe, you can give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And if you write me something nasty, I will read it on the podcast. And that's what I'm trying to find.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Here's one. Hi, Nicole. Just sliding into your DMs because you said no one ever does and wish that they do. Sadly, I'm gay as fuck. But I love you. I'll tell you this. I do not need any more gay men sliding into my DMs. No. I want what I'm talking about is straight men, or not even straight men, men who identify as a person who wants to fuck me.
Right.
That's who I want to be sliding in.
Right.
So he says, I love your podcast. Thank you so much. After I just screamed at you. And oh boy, I wish you were straight. But if you were in Charleston, I would. Wait, you wish I was straight? What? He wants me to.
Straight.
I'm so confused. Oh boy, I wish you were straight. But if you were in Charleston, South Carolina, I have a couch for you to slide in and I'll make you a lasagna. Honestly, you can have the bed. I'll take the couch. You know what I should do? I should screen these before. What I do is I just.
No, it's more fun to see them spontaneous. Yeah.
I just like take the screenshot when I'm like, for your podcast, or like slide. And I'm like, that seems dirty. And then I just screenshot it. I should start reading these before I screenshot them. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me on. This is fun.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.